We're going to continue our little short series in the Christmas Dilemma. Why don't you join me as we pray, and we'll open up the Word again this morning. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning where we get to come worship you. Lord, thank you that in all the aspects of Christmas, Lord, we get to find pieces of examples of struggles to believe, struggles to trust you. Lord, I pray that we would experience Christmas anew this year. Lord, in realizing, God, that you came to every single one of us. Lord, would you open our minds and our hearts as we read the Christmas story this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christmas Dilemma. You talk about those things that they have options to do. It's like, should I do this or shouldn't I? I think about dilemmas like when your wife asks you a question and you're not sure what to say, because if you tell her what you're thinking, you get in trouble. If you tell her that you forgot, you're in trouble. And sometimes I just say, you know, I'm not going to say anything because I know that no matter what I say, I'm going to get in trouble. And so as I think about dilemmas, you know, it's like, okay, what do we do in these situations? We're going to pick up our story again in Luke chapter 2. It's Jesus has just been born, and Mary is described as being laying him in a manger because there's no room any place except for in a stable. And meanwhile, there's another scene going on. I'm a guy, and I can do one thing at a time. You know, honey, do you want me to listen to you or do you want me to think? You know, it's kind of like I could do one thing at a time. But thank goodness, God is not like that. He can handle multiple scenes and multiple situations at the same time. So as Mary's being lying, putting Jesus down the peacefulness of a newborn baby in a manger. Meanwhile, let's pick up our story in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. Meanwhile, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Here's a kind of a Sunday school version. I thought, this kind of says it all, doesn't it? You got the angel, you got your shepherds, and you got your sheep. And they all got smiles on. You know, I love Sunday school versions of stories. Because it's so simple. It's like, you know, everybody's smiling. But the reality of the life of a shepherd wasn't so quaint. Although some pretty famous people, you know, you got Abraham was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd. But if you think about their lives, you can say, what are they famous for? Even though they were shepherds, shepherding wasn't what they were famous for. Shepherds at that one time really had been kind of like the pinnacle of what defined the people of Israel. In fact, if you remember, when Joseph moved all of his family to Egypt during the famine, what were they? They were all shepherds. It was something in disdain by the Egyptians, said, yeah, you pick the land, you can have this land here and do your shepherd thing. In fact, we'll give you the Pharaoh. He had them take care of his flock too. But at the time of Jesus, the shepherd had become an unwanted left out, pushed aside kind of people. It's funny you mentioned that about homelessness. I'm thinking that was really kind of the picture of what the shepherds were. They had become pushed aside. I think about the joy dilemma. One of the ones we want to look at today is the shepherds faced a joy dilemma. Are they going to allow what others think of them steal their joy? They smelled like sheep. They slept on the ground. They didn't live near any major cities. The jobs made them little or no money. They came from the lower rung of society. And really, I think about that, the song that maybe was sung as, "Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be shepherds," was the top hit of the day. So why on earth would God choose to reveal himself to shepherds? A people who were cast-offs. They were nobodies in the middle of nowhere. And the reality is there are no nobodies to God. If God chose to reveal his glory first to those shepherds, the King of Glory is making a really an important statement to you and me, to those of us who feel like nobodies, that we have nothing to offer, nothing significant. God wants to show up to us as well. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for me. I'm not too low. I'm not too insignificant. I'm not too powerless. I'm not too anything for God. He wants to show up to every single one of us. He doesn't want us to be forgotten. He wants Jesus to come and take us home with him. Think about all the crazy stories that Jesus told about shepherds, right? Shepherds were crazy people. When they took care of their sheep, they would go and leave the 99, right? And go and find that one. The kind of things that shepherds would do. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the one who takes care. He's not a hireling, because they would run off. Talk about David being the good shepherd too. What did he do? He killed a lion to keep his sheep safe. When you think about God announcing his birth to shepherds, we can realize that he's not going to leave you or me behind. He wants to announce his birth to us. He wants to come looking for me again. You know, even as we look at our lives, I wasn't always a pastor. In fact, I wasn't always a good kid. That's still arguable. I'm still not a good kid. But you think about those things that God came and found and said, "I see something valuable in you. I see something meaningful in you." That he would set time aside to come and show up to a world that's hurting. God doesn't choose to do things that the world does. God could have gone to like the announcer kind of people, you know. He could have had it produced, you know, had somebody with a face that was made for TV and not for radio. He could have somebody with a booming, warm voice announce his birth. He had good hair that was in order, they dressed right, they had the right vocabulary. But I just remind you of 1 Corinthians, Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 to 31, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are." Verse 29, "so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Jesus has been born, and meanwhile, nearby, there were shepherds living out in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Sounds pretty normal, right? Just everything's chill. Maybe you hear, I was trying to figure out what the sound of rustling wool against wool sounds like. That's probably pretty still, except you'd hear some blatting. You hear some sheep maybe settling down. Have you ever been startled by somebody? And it's still. I can be totally focused in, and sometimes Jackie will come up behind me and I'll jump. But think about it, just the stillness of night where nothing's going on, and then all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appears to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. So it's not only just a person showing up saying something, but there's a bright light to go with it. Just think of the nervousness of the shepherds trying to put their minds around what's happening. You know, think about those people who get in accidents. It's amazing. How many guys have been in accidents before? A few of us. I've been in more than one. And it's amazing, even though my insurance card says, here's the information to get when you get in an accident. You're nervous. You're like wondering, what should you do? What should you take note of? What should you do? Do you have a driver's license? You know, get your car out of the way. Don't walk in the middle of the road, you know, whatever's happening. Those things that are the shepherds were beside themselves. Their heart, I'm sure, is racing. You know, fight or flight. It's like, do we get out of here? Do we run? And it's amazing. The angel notices and looks at their eyes. He sees these people. And I think the Bible describes them as being terrified. They're so scared and shocked, they're shaking. I don't know about you, but when I get in a situation that I'm uncomfortable with, I physically shake. I can't stand it. I have to do deep breathing exercises. I calm down. Calm down. I'm thinking these guys are either hyperventilating, trying to calm down. It's like, okay, what's going on? What's going on? And the angel who's tuned in the presence of God, is able to look at every one of them and say, you know what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let's calm down here. I got some good news for you. The thing about the shepherds, they face a dilemma. They face the joy dilemma. Are they going to allow their fear to steal their joy? Those things that we're afraid of, really exciting, but you know, don't know what's going to happen until they experience everything that's going on. I just think about, some of us can remember back a few years ago when we were married. And I remember people told me ahead of time, says, now when this day comes, pay attention to every part of it because it's going to go really fast. And I felt like, I can remember, I felt really surreal. I felt like there was a movie going on and I was watching the movie. You know what I'm talking about? It's like you feel like an outer body experience. You see everything happening, but you feel like you're watching it instead of experiencing it and being right in the middle of it. The challenge is that we allow those things that are overwhelming to us to steal our joy. That we're so focused on the fear of what's going on that we can't experience and hear the good news that the shepherds were getting. They faced danger every day. They faced the danger of wild animals, the danger of thieves. But there's no danger like the enemy of our soul. We read in John 10, verses 10 and 11, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's danger out there for sure. The biggest kind of danger is one that can rob our soul. But the reality is that peace that comes from saying, God, you're the good shepherd. You're going to take care of me. You're going to watch over me. We have a good shepherd that will take care of us, that we can trust him and not be afraid. But when we allow, I was thinking about, when we allow somebody to steal our joy, really we're allowing them to steal our hope. And when they steal our hope, they steal our future. Because if you're hopeless, you don't move out into new areas. You don't do things that God's called you to do. You don't do things that lead to life. And if we allow our joy to be stolen, not only is our hope stolen, but our future is stolen. And those good things that God has designed for us to walk in, we're just locked down. We're fearful. We don't get out of bed. We don't walk in those new things because we're afraid of what could happen. Satan can't steal our soul, but he can steal our joy. What steals your joy? What do you allow your joy to be stolen by? Is it a Facebook post that shows you in a negative light? Is it maybe the bills that pile up and maybe even overdue? Is it the good news that your friend received that you've been waiting for and that you wanted? Or is it the heartbreaking news of a friend's choice or a loved one? But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Why? Because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The story of Jesus isn't just about this cute couple who are having a baby. It isn't just about this poor couple who can't find room anywhere but in a stable. It's not just about these lonely shepherds who get this good news out in a field. It's about the story of God's favor and love for you and me. That's amazing. "For I am convinced," Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, "for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Talking about those things that fear can provoke, the unknown about what's to come, to know that somebody's got your back and somebody that's with you, that no matter what happens, they'll help you. That's confidence giving. There's nothing that can get in the way of God's love. The good news is for you and for me and for all people. We are somebody's because of who God is, because of what He sent in His Son. Don't think the good news is not for you. Because you think about the enemy wants to say to our soul, say, you haven't arrived yet. I can't tell many people who would like to go to church but don't. They would like to know God better. They would like to get closer to God, but feel like their life is such a mess, they don't feel like they can come. Because they say, there's some things that I got to get straightened out first and then I'll come. Well, the reality is, you'll be waiting a long time. If most of us are real honest, we're not here because we got anything figured out. Anything figured out but Jesus. We're here because we know we're messed up. We know we need a Savior. We know that we're somebody only because of who Jesus is. Jesus, that's the good news, right? That Jesus makes us good enough. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Let's continue with our story. What happens next? Verse 15 of Luke 2. "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What are you going to do about the good news that's been told, that a Savior of the world has come? Think about that. They had a choice to make. What are they going to do? Are they going to allow their fear to get in the way? Are they going to allow their image of who they are get in the way? When the shepherds come and see that what the angel said is true, they're so impacted by it that they got to go tell people. They didn't allow. We talk about that joy dilemma. The question is, are they going to allow their weakness to steal their joy? Because they're really well aware of what people thought of shepherds. These guys, you could smell them coming. You knew what their profession was. And yet, they were the ones who got invited to the party. They were the ones that God announced his birth to. And they didn't allow their weakness to get in the way of that. They didn't allow what people thought of them to get in the way of that. A lot of us struggle with thinking that we don't have anything worthwhile to share. Just like I talked about people who don't come to church because they're not clean enough, they're not good enough. There's people that never open their mouth about who Jesus is, the good news, because their story isn't good enough. I'm going to tell you a little secret here. The good news the angel said that he brought isn't about you. That's shocking. The good news, it's not about you. You know, you think about those things that, it's like, oh man, I don't have a testimony like that guy. I don't have a story like that guy. That guy's way more articulate than I am. Guess what? The good news is not about you. It's about Jesus. That's we just get to open our mouth and say, you know what? I don't even sure what Christianity is, but I think there's a God who loves me. I think there's a God who cares about me. I think there's a God who gave me these experiences for me to realize that I can't do it on my own. That's all you got to share. They didn't have any theology. They didn't have to describe how the angel came and how the physics of it happened. They didn't have to. All they did was say, hey, I don't know how this, like, but these guys, this one guy showed up, and as soon as he was done, it was like the lights went on and like this whole choir showed up. And we're not talking like 50 guys. We're talking like thousands of angels all singing in harmony, praising God. Could you tell us the words they sing? Yeah, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace. That's a story. That's it. Wait, what? Where was he born? Who is this? I don't know. But it was just as they said. They didn't have to have all the answers. All they had to do was share about what God was doing in their heart. You can just say, man, I don't know what it is, but when I pray, there's a peace that comes over my heart. Something that I was really anxious about. And when I'm done praying, I still don't have the answer. But somehow, there's a peace in my heart that says, I know it's going to be all right. That may be your testimony. It's simple. The gospel isn't about you. It's about Jesus, about who God is and what he's done. You think about what they could have been prevented by, allowed their joy to be stolen by the opinions of others or their fear or their weakness. They didn't. I don't know what you've been held back by. I don't know what God is doing in your life, but I guarantee just your being here is God is working. Just me being here, God is working. And just acknowledging that fact as you study, as you do your job, as you make decisions, some that seem like, where did this come from, Lord? It seems like bad timing. But God is working. I love the Christmas story. I love looking at, for me, this has been enjoyable to look at the Christmas story in a different light. You know, we've all read the Christmas story probably a bunch of times. And maybe even that picture I saw was like, that was in my Sunday school class. I remember those smiling sheep. But it's so much more. It's so much more. The dilemmas you and I face every day as an opportunity for us to choose. Say, I'm not going to allow my joy to be stolen by circumstances. I'm going to embrace God's good news. I'm not sure what the answers are, but I know that a God who can navigate the world and navigate that kind of redemption in a little baby is a God that can take care of me. The good news, it's not about you. It's about God's love and power. As we think of our insignificant or the things we struggle with, I think about Paul's reminder that God gave him in his struggle. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That is the best. As I even think about it, he's like, what is my testimony? If you knew just that the process of we get to just to be who we are with all our warts and flaws, and to say, wow, God is amazing. If he can use you, he can use anybody. Because the gospel isn't about me or you. It's about what God can do in spite of our weaknesses. That's why Paul says, you know what? I'm going to brag about my weaknesses all the more. You know, and any one of us, we can name. Have you ever been in an interview where they say, hey, tell us your strengths? And you're like, hey, my organization, follow through, I'm a team player. Got to remember that one, right? And then they say, what are your weaknesses? I'm a loner. I always think I'm right. I'm self-centered. We all got weaknesses. And to acknowledge that those things that we struggle with is the reality is where God gets to move. Well, I thought you said you're so selfish. I was talking to a friend the other day who I said, you know, I noticed you behaved a certain way, you know, with your wife. And I said, I like that. And he said, you know, he said, I don't always feel like that. I said, well, you sure could have fooled me. I said, because I know that it's the right thing to do. And I do it because it's right. I think that acknowledging is like, I don't always feel like doing that right thing. But I can tell just the relationship is different because they take their weakness, say, God, I'm doing this because I know that I'm supposed to do this. Let's watch this last clip of the shepherd.
I can't believe this is happening. Oh, I got to get a grip. I got to tell people. That's what I got to do. I got to go tell people. I got to share the news. I got to let them know that who's going to listen to me, huh? Who's going to listen to me? I mean, it's not like I have any kind of reputation. People don't give me two looks. And I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one to talk about angel sighting and Messiah is coming. Okay. Okay, okay, okay. No, I just gotta put my manners on. That's it. I put my manners on. I gotta talk right. That's it. And then I gotta clean up. I can do that. I can clean out under my fingernails. There's no hiding this man.
It just don't make sense. None of it makes sense. Maybe that's it. He said, good news. Good news of great joy for everyone. Because the Savior was born today in Bethlehem. He said we'd recognize him by a very specific sign. He said that baby would be wrapped in cloth and lying in a... And this was the kicker. That baby would be lying in a manger. A Messiah in a feeding trough. Oh, I mean, even my family was better off than that. We didn't have two sticks to rub together, but at least I had a bed to lay my head in when I was a kid. I've been waiting my whole life for this Messiah. And now it seems he may be more like me than I ever thought possible. Well, I think that angel got it wrong. This ain't good news. This is the best news ever. Come on, boys.
Watch that. I love that. I just think it captures all the pieces of who Jesus came to. That's you. That's me. We're dirty, lying out in the field and smell. And Jesus came to bring the good news. You and me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that we don't have to get all cleaned up to come to you. We just get to go see you. We just acknowledge, God, that you showed up. Lord, we acknowledge, God, that you're working. We get to acknowledge, God, that you showed up to each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. We're not going to let him. We're not going to let him take what you came to bring. I just pray for every person here this morning. Lord, if there's anybody who has thoughts of feeling like they're not worthy, not good enough, not articulate enough, Lord, that you would help us all realize that it's because of you, the good news, that you're the one who makes us good enough. Lord, I thank you for this. This isn't just good news. This is great news. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to participate in your message to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. If you like prayer this morning, we have a few people that will be up front. Pray a blessing on every one of your gatherings this week, that you would enjoy your time together, and that you remember the birth of Jesus. Amen.